Our scripture reading for this morning is in 1 Peter. It is in chapter 1. We're going to read verses 22 in that chapter 1 into the second chapter, verse 3. And in the Pew Bible, this is found on page 1014. So 1 Peter, beginning in chapter 1, at verse 22. Listen to this. This is the word of God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice, and all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And that is the reading of the Word of God. The Word, it says in the first chapter, verse 12, it says that the word of God which was preached to you is by the Holy Spirit. Here in verse 21, verse 23 of this first chapter, that's why the word can be called the living and abiding word, because the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit is with it. In verse 23, we also learned last time that the word comes like a seed which gives life, so that a person is born again. Now this morning we're going to read on into the second chapter and find that not only is the word of the living God the beginning of our lives, it is also that which develops our lives and sustains our lives. And I would like us to look at these three verses, the beginning of the second chapter, and see a contrast between the things which are inappropriate for the new life, this new birth, this new beginning which is in Christ Jesus, things which are inappropriate, and then look at what is appropriate. And maybe we could make it a little stronger, and we could say, what is it that a baby does not need? Over against, what does a baby need? And Peter is comparing us to these, to babies who have new life. And so let's look at that inappropriateness. And of course, he's thinking about now the inappropriateness of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. All of those things are going to be inappropriate for this new life in Christ. Now, Peter has connected the idea of a new birth to purity. And the idea is perhaps this, that there's a new start, and therefore all things are new and pure. There is a new beginning. Now, about this new beginning, he would turn and say, at the beginning of our second chapter, therefore, put away certain things. Now, usually when that word appears in the New Testament, they're talking about putting off certain garments, you know, putting off the garments of the old man. And so we might think to ourselves, okay, if we're like babies, if we have a new birth, then what would the inappropriate garments be like? Well, I just happen to have a baby with me here this morning. And actually, it's a doll. And so I brought this doll clothed in some really cool clothes, because these clothes, still hanging in my closet, are from the 1970s. And you'll notice how nice and long and pointed the collar is on this black shirt, this satin shirt. But perhaps the most amazing thing are the pants, because the pants are bell-bottoms from the 1970s. Now, I would come to this baby and I would say, the things of the 1970s are really cool. And you, baby, need to put on and be dressed in the coolness of the 1970s. Well, you know, our society really does the same thing. Comes to those who are new in Christ, comes to those who are living and trying to grow in Christ and saying, now here is the cool way to live. This is what characterizes all people. If you're really going to be strong, this is what you must be like. And you and I could say, but wait a minute. That looks silly. You put a grown man's shirt on a little baby like this? It doesn't fit. We said, it's inappropriate. No, I think we go a little stronger than that. The baby doesn't need it. It is foreign to him. Well, I said this word could be translated as a putting off, like garments. But in this context, I really think Peter has in mind things that are more like diet than garments. And so when he's picturing this malice and this deceit and this envy, he's thinking about an inappropriate diet for the baby. So I happen to have some food up here. And of course, we have a donut, right? And you would say to the baby, okay, now here we have for you a donut. Do you want this? The baby would say, yes, I guess I want this. No, the baby wouldn't say that. No. You know what would happen? If you try to bring something that, you know, maybe the baby would taste the donut. Or let's make it a little stronger. What if we had taco sauce here? Or yogurt. You ever seen a baby's expression when you give yogurt? Huh? You bring something that is inappropriate to the baby, and the baby pushes it away. Huh? Do you hear, Peter? And now, put away. Huh? The world is going to be trying to feed you this food. It's okay to be deceitful. It's okay to say things which are untruthful. Hey, brush that away. It is inappropriate. You don't need that in your new life. So let's think of it, because he's going to contrast this to what a baby does need. And of course, you know already, it's going to be like milk. So we're thinking in terms of the diet, which is inappropriate. And here would be this inappropriate diet, stuff you should brush away from your life if you're going to be new in Christ. Here would be the first one, malice. Our English word suggests a person that has evil intent. The deliberate intent to do harm. You've heard in law courts people talk about malice aforethought. And what they mean is that somebody has set out with a deliberate intent to commit an act which is going to hurt somebody. Well, you and I would never do that, would we? Huh? Getting even. Paying back. They're going to get theirs. Doing to others what they have done to you. That's like putting a huge baggy garment on the new life in Christ. That's like bringing taco sauce to the mouth of a baby. And our English word is about deliberate intent. I think the Greek would even bring out not helping. Not even come. Part of the malice is the word comes from something that means worthless. Huh? Your act is worthless. It's not only that you're going to do something ill, you see some help that is needed, you don't do anything. It's arising out of a heart that is malicious because it's not going to help. Hey, brush that away. Don't do that. Don't eat that stuff. How about this? Deceit. Deceit. This comes from a word that means decoy. You know, if you're a duck hunter And you went out there and you had the wooden duck that somehow fools the other ducks, put that out under the water. Decoy, deceiving.
Well, hey, at Presbytery yesterday, just yesterday, Jonathan Inman gave me a present. And he said he couldn't think of anybody else but me that this belongs to. And it's a duck call.
Yeah. See? Boy, that's going to fool a duck, isn't it? Huh? I think it's because my name is Drake. It's a male duck. See, it's a big joke, I think. That's what he was getting at. But, you see, you come up with that duck call and you're deceiving the ducks, right? And they come and they're tricked. The deceit is they're expecting something else, and this is what they get. Huh? They get something that is false. They get something that is empty. This is implying, you know, you draw someone into something which is not true. The world doesn't have a high standard for truth. I say that's like putting yogurt into the mouth of the baby, and we say, hey, no, brush that away, it doesn't taste good. You know what hypocrisy is, pretending to be what you're not. You know what envy is, wanting things that you don't have that belongs to somebody else. How about this slander? To talk against somebody, to distract, in fact, because the word can mean distractions. The word for slander meaning distractions. You can be talking about somebody to someone else, and you're distracting that other person from what the real truth is of this person, because you're not telling the whole truth, just part of it, and just leaving out the rest of the story can give false impression. Well, that happens all the time in our society. People will tell a little bit of the truth, or they'll take a little bit of the truth and they'll mix it up, they'll stir it up with a bunch of lies. You know what that's like? That reminds me of Swedish meatballs. You got meat, you mix it up with some rice, you throw a little sauce in there, you try to feed that to a baby. And the baby, if it has any sense, is going to brush it away. All right, so this is what you don't feed the baby. This is inappropriate. What is appropriate? Well, he tells us, of course, in the text, you're aware of that. It's milk. Now, I don't have a baby bottle. We haven't had a baby in the house for a while. But I did find a sippy cup. Huh? And we can pretend that this is a very sophisticated baby, maybe mature beyond years. And what is this? What is the sippy cup? What is the bottle going to be filled with? What does the baby need? Huh? What does the baby need? Go ahead. You tell me. Hmm? You know. What? Milk. Right. That wasn't mysterious. That's what it needs. And Peter is drawing upon our knowledge that babies need milk. This is what is appropriate. This is what the baby needs. So he can say, just as a baby needs milk, so we need the Word of God about the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, back in verse 23, it spoke of the Word, which was the living and the abiding Word. And the Word there was Logos. Hmm? And the meaning of Logos is broad. You know, sometimes it can mean facts. It can mean matter. It means word. If we just narrow it down a little bit, we would say it can refer to the words which we are speaking. It can refer to the words which are inside of us when we're thinking. When we're trying to reason through something, we get our word logic from this Logos. And what's going on in logic is we're putting words in order and we are reasoning about something, but it's something going on in the inside. And so for that reason, this logikon is translated as, in some translations, as reasonable, sometimes as spiritual, and here they're thinking about stuff that's going on the inside of a person. That's the word here that is translated as spiritual. It can mean, you know, of the inside of you. I think we'd have to say in this whole context, which has been talking about the Word of God, which is living and abiding, I think we have to say he's talking about the Word of God, the good news of
the gospel, the word by which you find Christ. Not just anything, because all of the words of God are inspired, but here particularly, he's talking about the stuff which has given us life and which is going to nourish us in the new life. Particularly that message that has to do with, we have been ransomed by the precious blood of Christ. Or my favorite summary, in chapter 2, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. It is that message that gave us life. It's the message which we need to grow in. Now, another reason I think this has to do with the Word of God is because he's talking here about the pure spiritual milk, the pure milk that you could get. And the word for pure here is simply the negation of that word deceit that we found earlier. Where are you going to find something that is not deceitful? Where will you go for that? You don't go to preachers. You don't go to the world. You don't go to newspapers. They'll all let you down. They're all like news updates. Ultimately, you have to come to the pure milk. What's that? It's the word of the living God. It's what gave you life, and it is what is going to continue to give you life. So now listen to how he says we are to relate to this pure spiritual milk of the word of God. He says, long for. Is that what babies do? I don't know. I think this translation could be a little stronger here. Babies long for milk. I think, you know that word that we use once in a while, epinosis? Gnosis means knowledge. Epi is an intensifier. This word's got an intensifier on it. One person says it should be translated like this. Intensely crave. And boy, to my mind, that fits a baby. And that fits a baby's request for milk. I've never known a baby who says, boy, I wish I had something to sip on here for a while. I would long for something to drink. Oh, mother or older sister, could you bring me something? Nobody talks like that. When a baby wants it, a baby cries. And then once the baby gets it, the full attention is focused on it. The baby attaches himself. He's serious about it. And he gets it inside of him. And if a baby was not crying out for milk, we would worry about the baby. And if the baby was not growing, what is the first thing we would check on? Is it getting the milk? What, you're going to abstain from the Word of God and have a casual relationship to it, and you expect to grow? I'm reading this monstrous book, this huge book that Bill Clark gave me by a man named G.K. Beale. And in this book he says, the major work of Satan is to deceive. That's what the word devil means. The one who is deceiving. He says the word of God has been given in order to prevent deception. If you're not craving the word of God, how do you know you're not being deceived? How do you know people aren't trying to pass on you the cool, big shirts of the culture that are inappropriate to us? Or the foods that are going to upset your digestion? He said, Beale said, Eve was deceived because she did not know God's word sufficiently or did not esteem it highly enough. Casual towards it. Adam, on the other hand, did not trust the word enough to be able to use it to defend Eve. Right from the beginning, man is to live by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. And this is what Peter says, so that you may grow. But notice what he says, so that you may grow up into salvation. Now here he's talking about the fullness of what God is doing for us, so that we could know the grace of God in all of the corridors of our lives, so that it could be total. In fact, one translation says, to your soul's health, so that you could grow up in every aspect into Christ. That's what's good for us. Now, we tasted that. Have we tasted and savored this message? He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. Have you tasted that? Do you notice that this tasting is about tasting the Lord? So he's not just talking about the words of the Bible as things for you to memorize, or just words of the Bible for you to show how smart you are. He's talking about the babiness of things. You get that Word of God in you, you are getting the living God himself. It is the living and abiding Word of God because of his own presence. And to say we need the Word is to say that we need him. But listen, it brings about not only new life, it brings about growth in that new life. And because he is there from the beginning and will be there to the end in nurturing us in that growth, that is one reason why we call this good news. Now, do you believe that? Oh, come, let's believe this together. And our God, you who began a good work, you will bring it to completion. This is what we believe. And we are asking that even now we may take the pure spiritual milk for our growth to your glory. This is what we ask. And we dare to ask this now with confidence because we're praying in Jesus' name. Amen.